Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we're speaking with guest expert David Duffield. David is a high school social studies teacher in Denver and an LGBTQ historian. Let's hear what he has to say about the murder of Scott Amador. Hi, David. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
So as a historian, we're very excited to have you on the show to discuss the 80s and 90s, particularly what was happening in the LGBTQ movement at the time and how all of this could have affected the situations surrounding the murder of Scott Amador. So there's a lot to discuss, but perhaps you could bring us up to speed on the political climate post-Stonewall. The 70s are a time for a lot of change. What kind of progress was made during that time?
Well, so queer people were regarded up until about 2015 as psychopathic offenders. So culturally speaking, for most of American history, especially after the Industrial Revolution, gay men in particular were viewed as deviants or people who were morally inferior. In the 1980s, we have to remember that was compounded even after the period of gay liberation with the HIV/AIDS crisis, in which you had people literally making money and power off the backs of exploiting people who had the virus. So culturally, I would say that queer people, gay men, lesbians, trans people were peripheral and not necessarily accepted.
And we've seen this happen time and time again in history. After a period of radical change comes a period of intense resistance. How did things shift in the 80s and during the AIDS crisis?
Well, really things, there's always the theory in history that there's progression and regression. Mm-hmm. People fight for something and then people fight back against it. You can look at Jim Crow to say the same thing, the erosion of Black equality after the Civil War. And for queer people post Stonewall and the period known as gay liberation from 1969 to about 1982, cultural liberation was certainly something that was going on. We had our own spaces, we had our own bars, we had our own subculture, which was out and proud, our own festivals. And then on the heels of the HIV/AIDS crisis, a massive conservative backlash, happened in response to queer people coming out. One can remember things like the Briggs Initiative in California, or Anita Bryan in the 1970s with the Save Our Children campaign, talking about the evils and dangers of people who were lovers of the same sex, which is an old rhetoric that dates back, you know, hundreds of years. So in the 1980s, what you end up with is a contention between conservative people and queer people living as themselves.
So we get to the 90s, and it's wild because the 90s don't really feel that far away, yet in terms of queer history, so much has changed since then. What were some of the battles that the LGBTQ community was fighting at the time?
Well, I mean, there's the classic ones: marriage equality, non-discrimination in public housing, equal access to healthcare for HIV, fighting for our families. I mean, any range of fundamental basic human rights. I really think the thing that began to change in the 1990s was the representation of queer people in popular culture. Ellen came out in 1997. You started to see massive numbers of LGBTQ people at Pride. You started to see more and more political alliances. You started to see people who were living out in the crowd in terms of their professional and public lives. So whereas the process of creating gay liberation began in the 1970s, by the 1990s, it had matured into thousands of nonprofits and a whole web of LGBTQ rights movements.
And in terms of the media, how would you say that LGBTQ people were portrayed in TV and in particularly the shock TV that Jenny Jones and other shows like that were feeding to audiences?
Well, there's an interesting theory in cultural studies about how the public talk shows opened up the first spaces for queer people to have public spaces on in culture. So in the late 1980s and early 1990s, trash talk shows actually covered queer topics where you would see a void of that. The historian Matt Baum talks about how in the 1970s, you started to see more and more queer people on television, but then with the conservative backlash and the roots of censors, you started to see censorship of everything from lesbian kisses, like on Melrose Place, to, I mean, a mention of homosexuality in a soap opera as a bisexual. So there was in some circles the sense that this was a straight washing of queer content and culture, which began to emerge in the 1970s. In the 1990s, that began to be broken, but you also started to see it become not such a big deal. Culture is one of those things that passed from generation to generation, and popular culture, particularly in the 1980s and 1990s with television, was one of the best ways to do that. So when you think about the Jenny Craig show, and you think about the case with Mr. Amador, like, that was a setup. I think the response to that was a little bit different and talks about the gay panic defense, which goes back a very long time.
Yes, I would love to talk about that. So In the case of the murder of Scott Amador, the defendant, Jonathan Schmitz, and his lawyers, they use the gay panic defense, or at least they try to. Can you tell us more about what that is and what it grew out of?
Yeah, so Schmitz killed Amador after he was discovered to be after Amador had left a love note and gave him. They had sort of come out as his crush on public television. He premeditatedly, likely, went, bought a gun and shot Amador. And because of the gay panic defense, his sentence went from murder one to murder two. The difference meant life in prison versus several decades in prison, and he was released in 2021, I believe. But the gay panic defense actually goes back a very, very long time. The historian James Bolton talks about how violence against gay men was basically a phenomenon that goes back to as some of the laws against sodomy in the 16th century in Europe. But in the early 1900s and late 1800s, queer people, particularly gender non-conforming people and gay men, began to see harsher and harsher punishments of them. So the idea of the gay panic defense was first articulated as the gay homosexual panic in 1920. But the short of the story is that over the years, beginning in about 1960, I believe the case was a California case called Joseph Rodriguez, where a lawyer began to use the psychological defense in terms of getting clients less time in terms of their sentences. But the actual practice of blaming gay men for crimes committed against them is much, much older. Polchin talks about hundreds of cases of men who have sex with men in which they were killed and in which the defendants were let off because they said things like the man came on to me, or they were given lesser sentences as a result of that. So violence against men who have sex with men by someone else has a longer history than the gay panic events. That's probably not known or talked about.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
How do you think that cases like Scott Amador's and other similar cases at the time, for instance, the beating and murder of Matthew Shepard, how do you think they impact the LGBTQ movement?
Well, I mean, I was 15 years old when Matt was killed. I later saw a play about him. I know friends of friends who knew him. So from personal testimony, I can tell you that it was very shocking when it happened. I mean, I was a kid, basically, but at the same time, it was not unheard of. It unified the community in a way, I think, through violence against us, and particularly in which you started to see massive numbers of people focusing on violence. The number of anti-violence projects and organizations around anti-violence increased dramatically. And really, for the first time, you began to see tracking of data. You began to see public discourse. You began to see art leading the way for cultural change, just as you had with HIV maybe a decade before.
So right now, there is a real threat to the legality of gay marriage and what feels like a very direct attack on trans rights in our country. What would you say to listeners about the battle we're currently faced with, and how can everyone help the cause?
Well, let's let the history speak for itself. I mean, I think the Anti-Violence Project in New York, which was the very first one, tracked 4,000 trans women who were murdered, disappeared, or lost in 1994. I think the number was 37 in 2022. And I think that one has to look at the long view of it. The saying in queer history circles is that colonialism and racism cause gender binary, because capitalism and the idea of a male and female dynamic household create no room in the public spaces for gender nonconforming people. We also have to remember that discrimination against gender nonconforming people is older than sodomy laws in a lot of cases. The first sodomy laws in the United States were typically enforced in the late 19th century, but the first anti-cross-dressing laws were enforced in the middle of the 19th century. And as a consequence of these, historians argue that they erased trans or gender nonconforming people from safe places in public view. So categorically, for a very, very long time, gay men and and gender nonconforming people, or transgender people, as we would say today, haven't had access to public spaces, but they've also been viewed as deviants and people who should be locked away. In short, as the historian Peter Boyd talks about, more and more criminal elements of society.
So we'd like to ask our guest experts this question. At the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or thing, it could be a concept that you think is to blame for what happened to Scott Amador, particularly because that's what we're talking about this week, who or what would that be?
I mean, really, it comes down to self-love. Some of the worst people to persecute queer people are queer people themselves. One thinks about J. Edgar Hoover, right? One thinks about Roy Cohn. One thinks about people who repress their own lives so much that they're incapable of self-love. And that translates into how they govern the bodies of those who are like them. I'm in no way saying that Jonathan Smith is gay, but there are ways to handle it which would just kind of let it pass along, right? He was probably so concerned about the public outing of his sexuality that he resorted to that without thinking, but I don't want to speculate. I think ultimately, though, it does come down to the idea that we must first learn to love ourselves, and we must secondly learn to live our authentic lives. And when we can do that, we can accept that of those around us. And if we know about the long histories, finally, of discrimination against transgender and men who have sex with men, I think that we can come to a point where we understand that we and our fears are products of what other people have told us, because human nature is not to fear, it is to love. And human nature is only bound by fear because someone has made money, attention, or power off of the backs of our misunderstandings.
David, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us understand this history.
My pleasure. Thank you.
If you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion and final verdict, head over to Patreon and subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated. Check out our show notes for a link, or head over to patreon.com/thealarmist. And stay tuned, because next week we'll be discussing Loving v. Virginia.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.